Hello and welcome to Roll Bravely, a Pathfinder 2nd Edition live play podcast where five friends bravely roll dice, battle imaginary monsters, and solve pretend problems. I am your Game Master, Charles Reno. Before we get started, let's introduce the table.
Hey everybody, my name is Kenny Whittington. I play Amaris. He is a tiefling ranger, Nephilim ranger, you know. Tomato, potato, as my DM says. So,
My name's Zach. I play Taldir, who is a Nephilim champion.
Is that a question or?
No, I can't. I've completely forgotten. I cannot remember.
Yeah, champion.
No, yeah. But I can't remember if champion... He's a liberator. Champion is the base class. He's a liberator.
Nice.
Champion is essentially, like, the base for the new paladin. But it changes based on your alignment. Anyways, he's a liberator.
Remember, everybody, learning new systems is fun.
You know, it might help, actually, if there was, like, a sheet you could keep all your character information on.
Yeah, my sheet
you can go back
says
and reference
champion,
it at
dude.
Times.
That's why I was confused, dude. I'm looking at it.
Thanks, Demi-Coin.
I think it would be helpful. That's all I'm saying.
Jesus. And some of us prep, Charles.
I just want to state for the record, that is a lie. Nobody preps.
I was like, is some of us me? I don't...
What? My name is Sammy. I play Tez. He's a goblin.
Goblin, these nuts.
Alchemist. Whoa.
Got him.
I'm about to get you.
My name is Michelle. I play Wesley Nixon, an elf Damphir investigator. I just finished my Western, and I picked up a new book at the inn called Passion of the Christ, the musical.
The book is called Passion of the Christ, the musical?
Yeah. We'll see where it goes.
That's fantastic. Really. Just got like pitch and keys.
Christ.
Yeah.
Looking
bold
over your shoulder
in
and
a
saying,
world
no, no,
where
no.
Gods demonstrably exist.
Just looking over the shoulder like, no, that's not Christ, that's Christ.
Christ?
Christy. I think it's a girl.
I like it because it ties directly back to the initial book reading that Wesley did, which is like, she got into fantasy novels, but we could not figure out what a fantasy novel looked like in this world.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, it's just religious stories from the real world. That makes sense. Oh. Well.
Way to alienate half our audience, Charles.
Half? Where we left off last time, the party had a... just committed genocide, I believe, in the by destroying the Ember headquarters.
That was the episode before that.
True.
Also, so
do it again. Relax.
It was like 30 people. Calling that genocide is a little overselling.
There were a few survivors.
There were.
It was more of a massacre.
I didn't see any of them.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Massacre.
Yeah.
Relax.
I remember because Amaris killed one with a jagged piece of wood.
That wasn't me. That was natural.
That was natural.
He is a ranger.
He's got something in his neck.
He's a ranger.
You had returned to the Blushing Goldfinch where you encountered Jericho Thorne, who you may or may not recall having heard about a couple of times around town. He was looking for some satisfaction regarding the embarrassment and defeat of his associates, the Kenwick brothers, one of which, I believe, Brad, you had driven completely mad.
Kenwick.
Taldir was able to intervene, and thinking better of the direct confrontation, Jericho removed himself from the inn, having apologized to Taz for his frankly insensitive remarks. The party from there, more or less, determined to go to sleep for the evening, see what the world looked like under a new sun, and prepare for where to go next. The table, as a side note, roundly refusing to provide me with any insight, clues, or hints as to what I should prepare in regards for that. So this will be...
Well, how about we try it this way? What have you prepared? Because I'm pretty sure that's the direction we were going.
I'm prepared to have a bad time. Just personally, that's...
Cowabunga, dude.
That's my take. But we'll see how it goes. Following everyone else falling asleep for the evening, Wesley was alarmed by a crow pecking at the window outside of their room. When she eventually opened it and spoke to the crow, the voice of her mother came forth from it and said, "Wesley, I believe it's time for you to report in." So we will pick up there with Wesley standing before the window, the night sky above her, this crow kind of dancing on the windowsill, its head kind of turning, looking at you with its weird reptilian crow eye, and that, which is not strange, it's just a normal crow eye. I just think they look weird. And as it opens its beak, the voice of your mother comes out. "Wesley, I think it's time for you to report in."
"Mother?"
"Yes, meet me on the roof." And the crow and like takes off and flies up.
Okay. Everyone's still asleep, right? I think the best... I'll just go through the door. I was thinking about going through the window, but I was like, that's just...
Yeah.
I don't need to do that. Okay, I go through the door, but when I'm walking like super like on my tiptoes, like being very...
Walking
stealthy.
Like a villain in a 1970s cartoon?
Yeah.
Just like your cartoon sneaking around.
Somebody's trying to sneak away from Scooby-Doo.
I'll say, with go ahead.
The knife in my mouth.
Go ahead and roll a stealth check.
Oh, no. Where are you? I forgot to open Demi Plane. Stealth. Eight
total. So I would say as you like, you sneak through the room quietly, get to the other end, and as you pull the door open, it's just like an old fucking bed and breakfast. It's like... And the light from the hallway just kind of pours in. I would say that... well, I don't know how to do this. So I guess everybody else go ahead and roll. It should probably be against your perception DC, but because you're asleep, I want to do a roll instead at disadvantage.
At disadvantage or at a minus? Are we playing Pathfinder or D&D, Charles?
We're playing whatever I say we're playing.
So disadvantage?
Fine.
You understood the rules.
Fine. We'll say not disadvantage. We'll say... What's your perception
minus
bonus,
20.
Michelle?
My what?
Your perception bonus?
7.
Okay, so here's what we'll do. We'll make it a... Yeah, DC 20 check.
I hope you all fail.
With advantage, or...?
No, just DC 20.
We got a 24.
Ugh.
I got a 16.
Hey, I got a 17.
17. So Amaris, as this door opens, Wesley's kind of like gliding it back shut. All of a sudden, you just kind of like hear this noise and wake up. Everyone else is asleep.
I'm gonna I'm gonna sneak to the door and like put my ear against it to see what I could hear.
Okay. I would say you kind of like, now that you're listening, you follow a little bit behind and you just hear Wesley, I think, tiptoeing down the hallway. She's very quiet, but I don't want to roll again, so I'm going to say you can kind of like pick up some general sounds that she's making.
Okay. I want to follow stealthily.
Woohoo! roll stealth against Michelle, what is your base perception DC? That would be 10 plus your bonus. So I think 17?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Where would it be?
So what's your perception bonus? Your plus to perception?
7.
Okay, yeah. So it's just 10 plus that.
Okay, so yeah, 17.
All right. Go ahead.
But she's Amherst. Wearing that the loud bolo, so she gets a -2, right?
A loud bolo?
A loud bolo?
It has the... I remember it has the clickers at the end, and it fucking clicks when
it's
you walk.
Hidden under, it's hidden under my lace blouse. Like,
I got a 16.
It's just stylistically loud. Wesley, you become aware that Amaris has followed you down the hallway.
Okay, I want to hide behind a corner with the dagger. And once he comes close, and I can sense that he's about to turn the corner... I pin him against the wall.
Okay. Contested, or oh no, I guess that would be just against his.
Probably a grapple trick.
Yeah, let's do that.
Against my reflex.
It's athletics. It be, one sec.
Yeah, against your athletics DC, I would assume.
Or we can just do my reflex DC.
Grapple. You attempt to grab a creature or object with your free hand, attempt an athletics check against the target's fortitude DC.
All right, so what's your fortitude bonus, Amaris?
18. Oh, total. 8.
Oh, 18 total. Okay.
Wait.
So go ahead and roll a grapple check, Wesley.
So you have a +8 fortitude?
Fuck.
Yeah.
I need a new dice. My other one wasn't working.
Yeah, pick a good one.
I'm trying. I need
better,
a 20.
Better try to find that weighted one. You go down.
Just get the one that has all 20s on it.
Yeah.
Oh. Come on, 20. Oh, 16. 16 plus. What is it?
Athletics.
Oh, so you're going to be fine.
I'm not athletic. God, that's a 17. My athletics is +1.
Yeah, because
it's a 17 total.
Because it's a strength. Athletics is strength.
Okay, so I would say
I have charisma.
Amherst, she kind of moves to pin you against the wall, but you feel like you could probably get free at any moment. just you're kind of like she kind of got you on like the side of the rib or something. You're like, I really just have to step to the right and I'm fine.
So I'm just gonna hey, where are we going? Kind of trying to pretend that I don't even notice the knife there. Just
I just had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, okay, cool. I'll go with you. Make sure nothing weird happens. I'll stand outside, of course.
This is that weird thing happening.
Yeah. Where? Where? He's gonna just snap his head back and forth. Like, where? Tell me. I got this.
You're kind of doing the weird thing.
Oh, me?
Yeah. It's just kind of like a woman thing, woman vampire.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to put any more detail into it, but I prefer
No, please. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Excuse me. If you could just go back and watch the room just to make sure, because you know how. I just want to make sure that the. Who did we fight? Goblins? Yeah.
Whoa. Hey.
No.
Nope. You've only fought
as I push the knife away from my ribs now.
No, I'm asking for a clarification. Not
you defended a goblin, two people.
Who did we just
dwarves
blow
and
dwarves,
abominations?
Dwarves. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because we just the whole dwarf situation. Just go back to the room just to make sure everything is A-okay.
Oh yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
I'll be back in a few minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the room.
Okay.
Thought about checking to see where the bathroom was, but I'm going to leave it alone.
All right, so go ahead, Amaris, just for your own edification. It doesn't have to necessarily affect how you act, but Go ahead and roll a deception. Or no, sorry, Michelle, go ahead and roll a deception check against Amaris's perception DC. So that would be 10 plus whatever your perception bonus is. Seventeen plus what is your deception bonus? So
deception is 6. So 17 plus 6 is 20.
I guess unless you happen to have some kind of specialization in lying, which is a
confusion on Michelle's face when she did that math. Oh man.
That's not 20, it's 17. 22.
17.
And you still got it wrong.
23.
Yeah.
23.
So,
nice. Okay.
So Amaris is just going to turn around and kind of fucking, you know, skip back to the room, but like head all fucking doo-doo-doo. Like, real stupid like.
It is unreal. I can't remember the last time Michelle rolled below 15. It's fantastic. Unreal. It's
the level of luck. I just finished listening to the first three again, and it happens, but it is shockingly rare. I think, honestly, Michelle and Zach just have the other half of each other's dice. So it's yeah. Like,
well, to be fair, I just rolled a 17, and the one before that was 16, but before that, it was a 2.
Oh, you're working your
when
way down.
When it's bad, it's really bad.
All right, so you are able to sneak from the inn, having fooled Amaris, sending him back to the room. I would say, like, for purposes of executing this scene, there's really no reason to roll anything else. So, however, you make your way to the roof, you are able to find the crow that your mother's voice came out of. It's the only bird on the roof, so. And as you approach, it once more opens its mouth and the voice comes out again and just says, well, it took you longer than I hoped, but I'm glad to see you and see that you are well. I have received startling transmissions from some of my other spies, and I was worried that the worst had happened. How are things going?
I just had to shake somebody off of my trail, which is why it took a little bit longer, but, should we hug it out?
Sure, you can hug the bird. I believe it is safe. It spreads its little crow wings. Yeah, just like, you put your arms around it, it's just flapping.
I've missed you.
Yes, I mean, I can sense the mental confusion from the crow. It doesn't actually... This isn't really me. I just... using it as a messenger, but...
Yeah, no, I understand. It's just... it's been so long. So things have been good.
I heard...
Yeah.
There was an incident.
There was an incident. We're safe. Me and my group of people.
I couldn't care less about them, to be honest, but it's good to hear.
Hurtful?
I'm happy.
Yeah, Taz is like rude. He'll be back to sleep.
I had the weirdest dream that somebody's mother was bad-mouthing me. what has been happening, please? I want to hear from you.
Like, I gotta look through our notes.
Oh, now?
You want all the information now?
Doesn't have to be exhausting. I just...
Okay, so we did get some information. We found, like, a map. So our next thing that we're gonna do... Hold on, let me bring this back. What do you know from all the people that have, reached out to you?
Well, I heard that you have arrived in town and have begun to ingratiate yourself to the governor, which is excellent. Really, the whole point of having you there, but I'd heard you risked exposure and danger and were involved in some kind of corporate sabotage, or... I'm confused on the detail.
Yeah, that's about all right.
Oh. Crow's just like...
We are. I'm not sure if I should trust the governor or her lackey.
Yes.
Lackey, who?
That's a good question.
The Scythe of the Night.
Did they call him Knight of the Night?
Scythe of the Night.
What? At this, the crow's mouth closes for a moment. Its head shifts back and forth. It opens again, and she says, "Be careful. It sounds as though you've managed to find yourself in quite a bit of trouble already. I knew you were precocious. This is dangerous. It's your first time away from home. I hope you're taking care of yourself."
I am. I show her my blouse and my new bolo tie with my leaf's gloves.
Again, I'm not actually the crow. I'm just speaking through it.
But you can't see through the crow?
Oh, yes, of course. And you see the crow's eyes just like light up blue and it's like head's all tilted. Oh, wonderful. What is that?
It's a bolo tie.
Oh.
I read it in a book.
A bolo tie. What a delightful name. Would you bring one home for me?
I will.
I would like it, yeah. Who? You'll have to tell me all about it when you return. But now, if you are in fact dealing with the Scythe of the Night, then you cannot trust him. He serves his own master, and it is not the governor of any town. I worry about the situation, but we shall let it go on a little longer. What is this business with Ember? I heard you were in some trouble already that you were able to leverage to ingratiate yourself. Which again, fantastic, but I'd like to know more of the situation.
I don't think I have that information.
Well, when you do, try to reach out to me. I'll keep elements nearby, but the itinerant court has taken unexplainable interest in whatever's going on out there. At first, I assumed they were merely looking to get their fingers into the wealth and power of a new region, still ripe for manipulation and infiltration. There's something more in their interest here. Please, be careful and on the lookout. Well, if there's nothing else, I suppose I should let you rest.
No, I'll keep you updated. We should be heading out of the town shortly, within a day.
Wonderful. And then the crow's eyes turn back to black and it like... And then its body just starts moving, and it approaches you again and starts beating its wings against you. And
I snap its neck.
It just rolls off
too much again,
down onto the ground below.
The crow's a liability.
He is a liability.
Burn after reading.
Taz.
I'm on a mission. I'm a spy.
Taz, you smell fire and blood. You can smell the burning cotton, leather. You can smell the steel and flint in the air. The black powder of the explosion. Laid before you are 24 corpses. Some of them ripped and mottled with debris that has blasted through their bodies. Others burned. Others incinerated. Some simply blown into pieces. Among them, walking, you see the figure of, or you see several goblinkin, your brothers, sisters, fellow clansmen. Each of them alight, skin melted, blistered, burned. They're dragging the pieces of these bodies back together. Behind you, you hear a voice that just says,
"Oh, Taz. Putting them back together again.
isn't there anything else you know how to do? And when you turn, it is a young goblin woman, alight in flame, smiling at you, her hand resting on your shoulder. What are you going to do?
Do I recognize the goblin female?
You do. It is the image of your former wife.
I'm dreaming, obviously. Do I realize I'm in a dream?
I would say probably at this point. If you want, why don't you roll a will save?
Ten total.
Ten total. You have no idea you're in a dream. It is like, what is happening here? There's some obvious supernatural element to it that you can't quite figure out, but in the case of many dream states, you don't immediately put together that what is occurring is not real and the creation of your own mind.
Yeah, so I think I would probably be a little confused and just, I'll ask her, like, where am I?
You're where you've always been. In your own head, Taz. And she turns you then, pushing on your shoulder so that you return your gaze toward the crowd. All of the body that were dead and destroyed begin to rise and approach you.
I'm gonna start freaking the fuck out watching zombies basically come at me, and I'm gonna like start reaching for something, a knife or a bomb, something. And do I have anything on me?
When you reach down for the, I believe you said you have like a dagger made from some creature's tooth, and you reach to find it, and at your feet, about middle of your thigh, is a small goblin girl, again on fire, her hand reaching up toward you.
I'm gonna scream and like push her off.
Make a will save. You wake up just before dawn, the skyline orange with a new day, and you are just screaming, surrounding you. Taldir, Amaris, Wesley, who is already rested, is probably awake. The others instantly pop up from their places in bed.
Yeah, I'm screaming, reaching for something, sweating, kicking whatever over, knocking shit over.
Taldir's gonna immediately reach for his weapon.
And I'm like, gonna rush to... Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. I was just... Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm gonna rush to his side, grab his flask, and hand it to him. Like, it's okay, buddy. Here.
I'm gonna smack the flask and just grab my shit and go downstairs.
Whoa.
What was that about?
I don't know. That's about as bad as I've ever seen.
Testy. Yeah, I guess. I mean, Taldir, I don't think is really... I don't think that's the first time he's been woken up by some guy screaming in the middle of the night from a nightmare. So I think he'll, like, take it surprisingly in stride and then just go back to sleep.
A lot of bad dates.
Great dates for him.
Oh, God. Timestamp. 102:40.
Didn't see that one coming. Wow, that was bad.
Okay. That's what she said. Just God. Kidding. Just kidding. It was a guy. It was Jerry Barnborn. That's why he's so attached. Oh, shit.
Jer Bear.
Yeah, you just go to lay down and you see Jerry snuggled in bed. And then you wake up screaming. okay, yeah. I would say at this point you probably, you return to the bed, but you've probably achieved a rest at this point, given the where the place was at night. So,
what time of the day would you say it is?
Again, I would say like just before dawn. So I'm not an early out of bed guy. What's that, like 7? Usually,
like 5.
Yeah,
I think.
Stop.
Depends on the time of year, but yeah, usually 5.
Yeah.
Should also say I've been relatively equatorial for the past few years, so time zones don't change all that much. Yeah, so I'd say probably early 6:30 in the morning, something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, if it's basically if he's already gotten a long rest, then he'll just start getting ready for the day, putting on his armor, getting his shit together, getting ready to maybe doing some like morning exercises. Like he'll just do some push-ups and some sit-ups or something, and then he'll go downstairs to get breakfast because he wants to go and start the day. He wants to chase the guy he's chasing.
I like it. That could be our theme song. Okay, Amaris, Wesley.
I just started dancing to his song that he sang. And it's stuck in my head all day. So,
I'm just going to clear the room.
As I'm walking downstairs.
Doing the Carlton.
Taltier does like daily affirmations, but in the song, like, you are good enough for them.
I was doing fucking push-ups.
Yeah.
Like, you deserve love and professional respect.
I'm just going to clear the room and make
sure
nobody left anything.
You have to ask. If you want
Wait.
You
have to ask. What'd you do, Amaris?
I'm just clearing the room to make sure nobody forgot anything in there. And then I'm going to go downstairs.
Sounds like
breakfast.
Snooping, kind of is what that sounds like.
Ooh.
Real snoopy.
Are we keeping the room another day?
I don't think we are.
Yeah, nobody fucking knows, do they? Make sure nobody's got like, something in the corner.
It's kind of weird, like traveling with this
cat. Until you're going to be like, oh, does anybody see my second pair of socks? I'm like, yeah. Yeah, you left them in the room like an asshole.
Two pairs of socks? Who in this party has the money for two pairs of socks other than maybe Wesley?
I do now.
I do.
I have lace socks.
That's like,
oh my god, that sounds like a nightmare.
Socks.
Oh my
god.
That
does, god. Yeah. I instantly regret it. I don't have them.
Fucking toes would be ruining my life.
It's just like water, like a boat on top of water. Feet just slide around your shoes all day.
Just blisters? Oh, that, man.
That is my wife's favorite game to play when we are on like a road trip or traveling where like
boat on top of
we'll
water.
Leave a hotel and like 3 hours later she'll be like, so, do you know where your Amex is? I assume it's with you because you must have found it somewhere.
Why do you ever take it out of your wallet?
That's don't ask questions you don't need to know the answer to. No, I'm really bad about, for some reason, like just putting things in my pocket, even like when they belong in a wallet. Like I'll at the drive-thru get dinner and then just like shove it in my pocket.
You're the worst type of person.
My thing is at the gas station I do that because I'll get my card out of my wallet because I never keep it in my pants. So I'll take it out of my wallet and then I'll go
episode
pay.
10 cold open.
And then when I get back in the car, you know, I take my receipt and I put that in the spot and I put the card just down and that's
you guys are psychopaths.
Yeah, I do that too when I take, well, because my wallet's like this big, so I leave it in my purse and I take my card out, go put in gas, and I usually put it in my pocket.
Right? See?
And then clean like the windshield. Yeah.
I just put that bitch back.
Clean the windshield?
Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry about Mr. Perfect. Are you an adult?
Thank you, Sam.
take care of your stuff, or what? What is this?
For some reason, the truck windows get dirty so quick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well, it's because we park it right next to where the sprinkler. Yeah.
I gotta pee like so bad, guys.
Yeah, I gotta let my puppies
like
out.
Like I'm bursting.
They're like grown ass dogs.
All right.
Just do it off camera, Michelle.
God damn it. This episode's gotten loose. All right, everybody, take two or whatever. Everyone is downstairs at this point. The morning having begun. Breakfast is served by Mrs. The intaker here at the Blushing Goldfinch. I think the group has to make some decisions. I think there's how are we going to proceed? Like, first, let's all get on the same page in terms of where we are in this adventure, right? So you have arrived in town. You were hired to investigate this strange occurrence, which you were a part of, this dwarf turning into a monster before your very eyes. The governor of the city, Victoria Crew, connected it to other events that sounded similarly strange. Rumors of an incident at a mining site. Rumors of an incident at the Arcanum's bathhouse. You investigated the mining, or Ember headquarters, who owns the mine, and were able to identify documents which implicated Hilda Onyxfist, who shared a last name with the dwarf who had been transformed into a monster in front of you. There was also documentation indicating that she and her sister survived whatever event occurred inside the mine. So, did you meet Hilda? Did you meet her sister? We're not certain at this point. So I think there are a number of directions you could choose to go. You can continue looking for Vale. You can hunt down the surviving Onyx Fist, assuming there is one. You can go straight to the mine site if you'd like. I mean, what's the group's kind of thought here?
Well, I mean, so we know there's three unaccounted dwarves, unless you just told us that one of them was the one who was transformed. All right. Thank you for showing us your pumpkin spice latte cup, Charles.
It's a candle.
Oh. That's worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, real quick on the subject of candles. So, I bought a couple candles one time. Just...
Pumpkin spice?
The only time.
No.
Once ever.
No. I buy candles. And I use candles because I think they smell good. But anyways, I bought some candles. And like two people, one of whom was my girlfriend, were just like, oh, you're a candle guy? I was like, just because you buy candles doesn't make you a candle guy. Like, I don't...
How many candles are we talking about?
Well, I mean, I bought, like, because they were on sale, so I bought, like, five of them at once. You know, just buy them all, burn through them. But it's like, you know, like, oh, you're a car guy because you own a car? Like, I'm not a car guy. I just have a car. It's like a utility thing. Anyways, that was just my little rant.
TED Talk? A little TED Talk?
Yeah.
Welcome to my TED Talk.
Let me see. You buy five cars,
Zach,
then I would say
Zach
you're a car
guy. Candle guy.
No, it's I'm okay. Not,
hey, there's
I'm
nothing
not
wrong with
a
being
candle.
A candle guy.
It's okay,
I
dude.
Agree,
candle,
there's
whatever.
Nothing wrong with being a candle guy. I'm just saying, like, my so then, purchase yeah, of yeah. candles does not define me, you know?
Well, I don't think it's a definition. I think it's a subclass. So, but
it, really, yeah. It's not who I yeah. am. Okay,
your class is nerd.
Did you like
your subclass is candle guy?
Did you rub your finger on the candle to warm up the wax so you could smell it? You know?
No,
I'd never
that'd
even
be
thought
weird.
About doing that. That's a good idea.
That's not a good
that's
idea.
What you're supposed
that's
to do.
A weird.
Yeah,
idea.
I used to work at Bath and Body Works. Yeah, if you like. Are smelling too many candles, you can't get the actual scent. You warm up the wax.
Yeah, can you just do that motion again?
Just, yeah.
Yeah. You gotta use you two fingers and just really warm up that fucking wax.
It's really going off the rails. I believe Michelle was gonna defend her position as a candle person, so.
No, I actually don't have candles.
No.
But
yeah,
I
fucking hate candles over here.
No, I don't mind candles. I just don't have a place to put them where I I'm too worried about like the dogs bumping them, shit falling, yeah, that whole deal. But I don't think that. I mean, what's the alternative? Do you like your house smells?
Dude, you know, you like, just clean it.
That's absurd.
There's like an ambiance, you know.
Don't
like
be
you
absurd.
Pine salt.
It's true.
Babalo soap.
There is an ambiance. I'm gonna have to go back and buy 9 more of these because this is my ambiance for the next 6 months.
You like when your house
months.
Smells like shit?
The only time I do like to have candles or like something, if I do crave like the, you know, the vibe of candles, is during the fall because like the smell,
mm-hmm,
the coziness.
We got to get back on track here, but I'm a big candles at Christmas guy. I love like the pine and like the sugar cookie and like all that.
See,
stuff.
A couple of them I like, but they get to be too fast. Like for me, I like lemon and like fresh linen, and those are or citrus. But
sorry, did you just say lemon and fresh lemon?
Fresh linen.
Linen.
Oh, linen. Okay.
Linen.
Linen. Sorry.
There's the smell of lint out of his pocket. Yeah, just,
nobody ever called it.
Cleans
fresh,
out the dryer lint and just starts burning it.
Like, this guy really likes lemon. Oh my god. But I just hear bad. Okay.
Anyways, yeah, so you said, wait, I don't think we knew that one of the that the dwarf who transformed was an Onyx Fist.
Didn't you get her name tag from somewhere?
Yeah, I think we did.
Did we?
But I didn't know that she might be her sister or something like that. Whatever you said.
They have the same. They had the patch. They had a patch that.
That's it. Oh.
But I don't think we knew it was one of those two. Let me see. Oh.
Was Onyx Fist not a last name?
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Onyx Fist is the clan name under the Forge Flame. Or Onyx Fist is the family name under the Forge Flame clan. And the monster in the bar had the patch on it. But I don't think we... Anyway, it doesn't matter. What we do know is that there are 3, now 2, unaccounted dwarves. Hilda Onyxfist, Threlessi Onyxfist, and Basir Blackrock. And from... I don't know how I didn't write this down, but it's just like we found a partial deed for Vale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't really see Taldir having any desire to pursue anything other than something related to Ember. Like, he, you know, if it's only a partial deed, there's not, like, much, I assume, that he can get out of it. Like, he doesn't know, like, what mining site was Vale's or whatever. But he certainly wants to keep pursuing Ember and find out, you know, like, try to find people he can interrogate / ask about Vale. Like, that's his motivation. And we do know that the surviving dwarves are in danger due to the HR letter requesting policy compliance unit.
Mm-hmm. So I would say, I want to make sure that this is accurate before I give it to you, because I think the site number was on the partially executed deed, but...
Yeah, 616.
No, that's where the... Yeah, different one.
That's where the mine... That's the mine.
Yeah, but where is this? Let me make sure real quick. Here we go.
I added my notes from previous. I just put them at the bottom.
Yeah.
So...
application for deed of land, mining site 44. Partially executed in the name of Luis Valle de la Venda.
I have... Oh, yeah, I've got that.
Okay, yeah, so then... I mean, the only real reason Taldir wouldn't immediately pursue that is because he thinks the surviving dwarves are in danger, so he's down to go after them first to try and protect them.
Where's last time we saw Taz, he was kind of running out of the room. So where's his head at now?
Oh, when you guys come downstairs, I'm like, nothing happened.
Just eating breakfast and hanging out.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Yeah.
I just toss him his flask. Hey, drop this. I also pretend nothing happened.
Yeah. Thanks for putting my thing. And then, I'm down to... to go look for these dwarves, these missing dwarves.
Yeah,
I shrug and just say, works for me.
But first, I want to spend all this money. I'm going to, you know, I got 15 gold to spend.
Got some gold. What were you saying, Michelle?
Yeah, I'm down to follow up on Ember.
Okay. So, yeah, that raised a good point. I think you guys got some money in your pocket, so if you'd like to make some purchases, like we kind of talked about at the top of one of the earlier episodes, anything that's, you know, your level or below, you can go ahead and just buy. We don't have to take up airtime doing it, but if there's something like special or higher level that you'd like to start working for or looking toward, you know, you can always just let me know and we can work that in as well. But yeah, you guys will have some time to get that done. In the meantime, you guys are looking to investigate these dwarves and continue the rabbit hole that is Ember. How do you think you'd proceed with that? Well, I'll let you guys talk it out.
I mean,
well, we have that map, right?
Yeah.
Was it a map?
So we have a map of Dun Kazir, not a map to Dun Kazir. And I believe that we found a map that shows us where Mining Site 616 is. So
approximately.
Yeah, so we could go to the 616 site, but like, we know that there are survivors that are in danger. We don't know where they are. It seems like we should try and find the survivors, and for that, I mean, well, one, Charles, like, could we get a message to the Scythe of the Night and or slash in our conversation with him when we told him about these dwarves? Did he tell us anything like, here's where I would look for them or anything like that?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we can kind of like flashback to the conversation where if that's, you're kind of interested in hunting them down, tell you that Hilda and Basir have gone underground largely. They're probably hiding somewhere in the Five Mines district, which is kind of a sub-district of where the dwarves are. Their kind of area of town that they control. The Five Mines are the oldest mines in Hope's Embrace and the only ones within the city walls. And they're kind of home to the entire Onyx Fist family. That's sort of where they are from. So your best bet, in terms of just straightforward advice from him, would be to attempt to gather information in that part of town, see if there's some way you can pry loose some tongues if you want to go directly to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what Taldir would be on board with that. And
can't tell if everybody just thinking there.
With that resounding assent.
Yeah, I was. I was shaking. I was nodding.
Nay, yay. Nay, yay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Resounding assent. Okay. You would make your way from Tarrytown again, entering the city streets, probably now, early morning, but definitely alive with activity. You are right along the main thoroughfare in town, so once again, it is busy. All kinds of, like, street barkers, other individuals, people handing out pamphlets. You see small groups gathering, chatting. You see, mixed into these groups, pockets of men and women who wear kind of gambesons or other military-type uniforms, and each of them have... You start to notice that a lot of them have kind of a red armband tied around their left arm, and that they tend to hang out in groups of four or five, as you kind of like take note of this, you move away from the city center and it gets noticeably poorer and more run down until you arrive at the outskirts of Five Mines. There is a kind of trolley that you can use as an elevator, kind of an old wooden elevator that they load people into that goes up and down kind of continuously during the day, as well as a staircase that's built into the side of a kind of small but steep hillside. Goes up about 90 feet. And you kind of see signage above indicating that if you are attempting to get to Five Mines, it is located on top of this hillside.
I'm down to take the elevator.
Is it free?
The elevator's gonna cost you a gold apiece.
All right, we'll walk.
A
yeah,
gold?
We're walking.
A
yeah,
gold.
We're walking.
That's it?
How many stories is it or whatever? Sorry.
It's 90 feet up.
It's about 90 feet up on old what, stone stairs, so probably the equivalent of, what, 8 stories?
It's hoof it.
That's
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. You guys are adventurers. You'll be fine. Yeah. You ascend the stairwell. And as you reach the top, you can see the structure still surrounding these 5 older, smaller mines that are spread across the hilltop. Intermixed in them are a variety of kind of shops, saloons, taverns, other indices of industry. On the outskirts of the hill, built around kind of where you just came up, are small neighborhoods. You find yourself in the middle of one now. Although it does open into the main thoroughfare that kind of creates a loop around the top of this hill. Where would you like to start looking? Like, what kind of places or people are you trying to find?
I mean, you wake up in a tavern. Everybody always talks to the barkeep. Gotta go to taverns.
All right, who wants to lead the group? Whoever's leading the group. Make sure I'm going to get the name for this right. Is going to do the... Where is gather information?
It's a diplomacy check.
It's a diplomacy check, right. Okay. So whoever's leading is going to do the diplomacy check. Everyone else can roll for help if they would like.
Aid,
sorry.
Who has the best diplomacy? I assume Wesley.
Yes. How? There's no map? I have to use my imagination?
Yep.
Lame.
What is this? Playing? Playing pretend?
It's. Yeah.
Unforgivable. My diplomacy is +6.
Oh, yeah, your diplomacy is way better. So, you should do the roll. And.
An aid is generally a what? Flat check?
No, not a flat.
DC 15?
Not a flat check. You just have to, like, describe / agree with the GM on what a relevant skill roll would be. I believe it's DC 15.
Standard, yeah.
Yeah. But perhaps it could be DC 10, depending on if the GM wanted to be nice.
Yeah, so here's what I'll say. I'll set it at DC 15, but offer a bonus or increase the DC based on how you would like to assist Wesley in this initial search.
I mean, Taldir is definitely going to let her be the diplomatic one, but primarily, one, I want to roll intimidation for it. Not because I'm actually going to, like, threaten anyone necessarily, but, like, I like to think he cuts a pretty imposing figure and, like, will, you know, be, like, the, like, a strong, silent bodyguard type. Just, like, if someone were to not be helpful, that would not go well for them, is what he's trying to imply.
maybe roughing people up if he needs to or whatever. Not like hurting, but you know, like pushing it, telling him to sit down and listen or whatever, you know.
He stops me from killing him.
Okay.
And I'll be behind Taldir just putting my fist in my hand, like, you know.
I like to think you're like actually completely behind Taldir so they can't even see you doing it.
They just hear my fist hitting my hand.
Okay, I like that. You can roll intimidation for that. We'll give you a plus one situational. We'll give Taldir a plus two, and we'll give Taz a plus one. Is Amaris going to do anything to aid?
No. I'm just going to kind of look around all aloof. Like.
Just kind of taking it in.
I rolled like shit.
I've never been in a mind before, I tell everybody.
What'd you roll?
14, but plus 6. 20.
Hey.
20. Fast math.
Fast math.
No aid. No aid for me. I didn't aid.
Yeah, I didn't.
I was one off. I needed you to give me a plus 3.
Did anybody critically fail?
Nah.
That's the only...
I rolled an 8.
That's not a critical failure, fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. You spend several hours kind of roaming the Five Mines area, moving from tavern to tavern, trying to find, at first listening to see if there's much discussion. A lot of the chatter is in regards to the attack on Ember the previous day.
Who did that?
Dwarves. Very distrustful of outsiders at the moment, and seemingly in mourning, although the Ember Corporation does not belong to the Onyx Fist family, nor the Forge Flame clan. They are heavily involved in its operations, and so you get this sense that some of those who died the day before probably lived here, were part members of this community. So there's an air of like mourning and longing. As the afternoon rolls on, you begin to approach people, and eventually you find one guy just kind of grumbling to himself in the back of a bar, and Wesley, you kind of overhear him mentioning that, just like talking to himself over an ale, like, Hilda reached too far. I told her it'd be disaster, ruin.
I lean further. Am I sitting down?
You tell me.
Yeah, I'm sitting down drinking. I lean my chair further back. Just to see if I can get more, if I can hear more.
As you do, you see he just kind of continues to sip at this beer, shaking his head. Another kind of associate of his eventually returns a couple of beers in his hand, and he's just like, you can't take it so hard. She's a good girl. I'm sure she's fine wherever she's at. No. When they find her, that'll be the end of her. And they just kind of go on this way. Not a lot of like direct information, but it's pretty clear that they're talking about, or it's likely, it seems, Hilda Onyx Fist.
And am I by myself or am I with my group?
You're with your group.
When the fuck did we get in this bar?
Did you guys hear
this?
Yeah, did we hear it,
bro? I would say, well, even if you didn't hear it, Wesley could easily communicate it to you if she's so inclined.
I'm inclined.
Taldir's going to encourage her to go talk to them. Sounds like the first thing we've had that's even remotely close to a lead.
I'm going to make it very obvious. Like, I'm going to look over my shoulder. Like, if she's like, oh, I think that's a look. Over my shoulder.
Where? Don't look, but...
Yeah.
I dropped my beer on his lap to get him to not make it obvious.
Fucker.
As you do that, you see...
I started sucking on my shirt.
No alcohol abuse in here. Yeah. As you do that, several people, like, kind of turn towards you and start to pay attention. You see the two dwarves who you heard talking kind of eye you a little bit suspicious.
Yeah, because it's some loud sucking, you know? Like I'm getting it out of that. You know?
You can, like, see the moisture wicking from the edges. Like,
you see the ward.
A guy my from another table tight. Says, is that a fucking grapefruit?
My cheeks are caving in, and I got veins on my forehead.
Just a blood vessel bursts in your eye. Really. Yeah.
Taldir's going to try and get Wesley's attention and be like, move now. Like, we got to, like, get him. We got to start talking to him now. Make sure they can't leave. Like,
hot.
Before this gets out of hand with, like, noticing the bar kind of stopping to look and Taz making a scene.
I'm making what information a scene? Do you want me to make what information am I looking to? I want to know where Hilda's at.
Or anything about her, where she might be, etc.
As they're trying to do the quiet conversation, I'm like hand up trying to get the barmaid to get bring some more beer.
Yeah, and while this is going on, she like kind of rounds about. She was maybe the one who, based on your check, indicated that these two individuals might have some information on Hilda in your conversation with her. And as she kind of returns, she drops off a fresh round of beers, tells you, you know, that'll be 5 copper each. leave it on the table. I'll collect it when I'm back. I assume you'll want another round.
Yeah. So, all right. I get up and I go to walk over to go talk to the two dwarves.
Okay. Let's get some framework for this conversation. Roll another diplomacy check.
Drat. A 9 plus 6.
A 9 plus 6. 14. Okay.
15. Oh, you were wrong. I was right.
Dang.
My. How the table have turned.
You approach them and they're both kind of like scowling. The one who you heard speaking originally is just kind of like, what do you need? You don't look like you belong around here.
No, I'm not from here, but I did hear about the whole explosion that happened at the... You just seemed really sad about the whole situation. I just wanted to give my condolences. See if you knew anybody that was involved.
You're damn right I'm sad. It was a fucking tragedy. Dozens, my friends and family, blown to bits by some savage animals, I assume.
You just hear it.
Yeah, savages.
I bet it were elves. So fucking jealous all the time.
I'm an elf. Can you tell that?
Oh, shit. I mean, you know. Not the good ones.
Are they like in a booth or are they like at a table? Or?
They are. Let's say they're kind of at like a... It's like wooden and like old like taverny, but it's constructed like a mid-century Los Angeles like Naga hide half moon like booth just in the corner.
Yeah.
High backs. Like,
it's a good thing we're all from California and understood that. So
you don't know what a Naga hide booth is?
It's fair, actually.
So but like, is there a place that like Taldir could like pull up a chair and like sit down?
Oh yeah, I would say the table that they're seated at probably has room for several more individuals.
Okay, yeah, I mean, so kind of in keeping with the fact that I rolled an intimidation check, Taldir will pull up a chair and just like sit down and like put his drink and his like, you know, fists on the table, kind of not really saying anything. But just there to, like, obviously back Wesley up.
I'm gonna see Taldir get up as he walks away and be like, Zamras, I think we're moving tables. I'm gonna keep sucking on my shirt and I was like, we're moving tables. Come on, grab the beers.
All right, I'm gonna grab all 4 beers and, like, clumsily take them over. Yeah.
I walk over and my shirt is still in my mouth as I'm sucking it, so you see my belly button.
Now, what does a goblin belly button look like?
It's an Audi.
A question, yeah. I never thought I needed to know. But.
It's an Audi.
It's an Audi.
Just like hastily tied off, like yeah. Cut with like a rock knife.
Like, just Google like shirtless goblins or something. I'm sure you'll find what you're looking for, Kenny.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But we don't get to the table immediately when, like, you know, Taldir sits down, and then maybe a few minutes later, then we kind of just like just start scooting in.
But I'll set the beers down though, also, so it's kind of like open to anybody. Assuming that the dwarves might, you know, appreciate that.
Yeah. Go ahead and roll a
friendliness check.
What's a friendliness
yeah,
check?
Yeah, we're not trying to be like rude or anything, like not intentionally rude. I mean, I know, but it's kind of, we're moving tables. And
let's call it a performance
survival.
Diplomacy is
roll performance.
Diplomacy has make an impression with at least 1 minute of conversation. Cringe.
Yeah.
I mean, survival though, because like you got to learn how to adapt to your surroundings.
I'm down to
this is a New York City, sir. You're not learning how to get by with the locals. Just roll a performance check.
Performance?
Right. I'm going to go in and make an impression here.
Yeah.
All right. Better than I thought it could be. That's a 5.
Hey.
Plus my modifier, which is nothing.
Okay.
I have 0 to my modifier, but I rolled a 16.
Hey, me too, buddy.
Hey.
Rolled a 16.
People love us.
or they hate us.
Wesley, given that you have been speaking with these dwarves for a moment, you could roll make an impression or performance if you would like.
Yeah,
Taldir,
I'll help them.
As well, can refocus on a intimidation check if that's your bag.
That is my bag. And I'm hoping you'll be cool about it.
I got a 5, but I have a 6 in performance, so 11.
You have a hero point, right? Do you have any?
Yeah, we got one at the start of the session, right?
No, we don't do them at the start. Just when you roll a 20 right now, or I hand them out, which I have been loath to do, but I should. So, but you know what? Michelle doesn't need the help. She should fail for once.
Well, I'm going to use the one that I had on my sheet. I don't know if I actually have it, but it was there. It was checked, and I never break the rules. So, and
that
I
means you break the rules.
No.
Except when it really helps me out.
Yeah.
Did it, though.
And I forget.
I technically did. Quotes. Yeah, I got a 23.
Okay.
Nice.
The dwarf. His eyes pass between each of you. He reaches forward, takes one of the beers, and begins to drink it. His friend seems more nervous, doesn't make a lot of movement. He looks at you, Wesley, and says, "Your well wishes are well received, but I don't believe that's what you're here for, so have it out. What do you want? The lot of you." And then he's going to just start drinking this beer like...
Oh, he's way better at drinking than those other guys. Same as Taz.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not here. Well, I do offer my condolences because that was a tragedy. Those poor dwarves.
Must have drank.
Can you tell that I'm sincere?
Sounded venomous.
I'm gonna just start drinking my beer slowly, so I don't have to talk. Cause I don't want to talk. Cause
okay, give your go on, Wes.
I was hoping you can actually give me some information about Hilda Onyxfist.
Hilda. And he's going to kind of glance towards the barmaid who's been making the rounds. She's a cousin of mine. She had nothing to do with it. She's been in hiding. What do you want her for?
Pause. Can I pause the game?
Pause.
Pause. Yep. T. What do we want with her, guys?
I mean, basically, we're no friends of Ember, but...
Radio edit.
We're no...
Oh, yeah, I'll edit.
We're no friends of Ember, but... and we know that Hilda's in trouble with them. We got some information that she's in trouble with them. And we are looking to ensure her safety and the safety of anyone that she's, like, with or whatever, like, Basir, BlackRock, because we need more information about Ember.
Yes. I mean, that's basically so you don't know either.
So we're trying to help her so that way she can give us more information on Ember.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Game on.
Unpause.
Okay, so we actually got word that she's in trouble. So we actually want to help her. So we're looking for her to help her and anyone that she's involved with.
Roll a diplomacy check. One more.
Oh, for fuck's sake, my rolls have been...
She
waited one again.
Does my intimidation check roll over for 8 on this or no?
I'll give you 8, yeah, because you crushed it. So +2.
Plus one,
sorry.
Taz kind of
go left-handed.
Just keeps slowly drinking.
Oh, for fuck's sake. 7 plus 6.
Plus 7.
What? Okay.
So 14, right? Because the plus 1?
Yeah.
Yep. So... as you say this, he's kind of like eyeing you, and he nods, and he says, "Well, you don't have to spill your secret if you don't want, but if the governor sent you, and she's looking on for dirt on Ember, Hilda has it. If you can guarantee getting her out of the city safely, I can lead you to her.
I can guarantee that we'll do our best. We've done this a few times before, and... we've helped a few people. When?
Yeah.
Like, literally the mission before this, bro.
What happened?
I say that to him.
Taz caught.
Did you do something cool? What was it?
Yeah, we saved a goblin. He was wrongfully accused of murder.
Oh.
Yeah.
How did you get him off? So their friend kind of jumps in.
We found the actual murderer.
Killed the actual murderer.
Yeah. We solved a... Huh?
Killed the actual murderer. And...
yeah, we killed the actual...
defended the goblin in the process.
But we did find him. Yeah. And then he went to go live off a merry life. Well, I don't know how merry it was, but... he was a little weirdo.
All right. He was kind of... wait, I don't know him. Never mind.
He's a goblin.
I believe you. If your little friend is any indication, I understand. I haven't known many goblins, but please get your shirt out of your mouth. There's a fresh beer right there.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I can take you to him. Do your best. Get her out of town alive. She can go stay with family. Once she's out of Almira and Hope's embrace, I think she can take care of herself, but I'm choosing to trust you. Follow me. And he's gonna slide out of the booth, his friend kind of following behind him, and he's like, "Are you sure this is a good idea? Just what choice do we have? Come on, you lot." Gonna exit the tavern.
Does he dine and dash?
I'm a store credit.
I'll pay for his drinks.
Like, okay. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Gonna say and ours?
Oh yeah, ours too.
Yours too. So what's that? Probably come out to like half a gold total. So, you know, 5 silver or They drank a lot, these dwarves. Okay. So as you enter the full daylight sky of the out... We're just going to start that over. As you exit the tavern, the noon sky is high above you, the sun bright, the sky cloudless. It's warm, even for this time of year. The dwarf that you were following is maybe 100 yards ahead of you, and he looks back to see that you followed him out of the tavern and proceeds to continue walking kind of down a pathway leading towards one of the older mines.
100 yards?
Aren't dwarves short?
Yeah, it took a little bit to like get the coins, and then the lady like she didn't have exact change right away.
He didn't like wait outside the tavern for us. He just said, "You know what? I'm gonna walk a football field away. They'll find us."
Just exactly one football field. He wanted to test your vision and see if you were dwarfist.
That's 4.3 whales for those of you that don't know.
Of which variety?
You figure that shit out yourself. That was for the listeners.
That'd be humpback, because orcas are...
It's like 1,000 dogs.
What dogs? What
kind of dog? Figure it out.
At least 15 cans of soup.
Here's what you gotta do. Poison 1,000 Rottweilers and 1,000 Chihuahuas. And then see if you need to go bigger or smaller.
Poison them?
Yeah.
You gotta get 1,000 dogs to sit still somehow.
Training them.
Oh, yeah.
So you gotta train 1,000 dogs. Get them all to sit.
No, you gotta train 2,000 dogs, because you need 1,000 Chihuahuas.
Yeah.
And 1,000 Rottweilers.
Yeah.
Now they're 125 yards away.
That's our run now. How much do we drink? They're fucking talking about dogs and whales.
Hey guys! Just follow me! No, you just follow me!
Fucking idiot, dude. Fucking so stupid. Idiot.
I'm like 1,200 dogs away already!
They probably age each other with breadcrumbs.
1,275!
Wait, do we have horses?
No. We're catch up to this guy. It's insane that he didn't wait outside the freaking tavern. I don't get it. He wants us to follow him. We're paying for his drinks. He's like, I'm just going to take off.
I think it was just like a cool move.
Maybe he didn't want to be seen with us.
Does he slow down after I say that?
He like turns around, stops walking, and as you approach, he's like, I was just hoping to put some distance between us. You stand out a little bit.
Me? And then my eyes turn black?
Well, you're like two of us. 6'2".
Are there like only... Is this only dwarves right here?
It's like... Not only, but I would say it is probably 80% dwarves in this district. There are some humans walking around. A few other more exotic peoples. It's not necessarily like... Like strictly dwarves only or whatever, but it is predominantly dwarves in this area of town. You continue to follow him until you arrive at a kind of really what is functionally just a hole in the ground. There's a couple of rope ladders kind of staked to the earth. He kind of descends onto one, his friend onto the other, and he looks up and just says, this will go down about 50 feet. Once we're in the shaft, then we can take a path to the main mining tunnel. That'll lead out onto the city below. And from there, hopefully you all can make your escape. She's waiting in one of the old holding rooms. And he's going to begin to descend.
We follow.
Alright, who's first?
Taldir.
Taldir descends in the lead. Are you taking one ladder down or both?
Both, I guess. I mean, he'll go. Well, he'll go on the ladder that the dwarf isn't on.
So each of the dwarves took a ladder. There's two that go down, one on each. So you're following the guy that you're talking to, or the other one.
Okay.
Who's gonna go?
I'm gonna follow the guy that was nervous.
Okay. Follow the nervous guy. Who's behind Taldir?
I'll go.
Okay.
And then I'll just go where Amaris is.
See ya.
Okay. So you begin to descend, and as you do, it becomes dark. You enter into the main tunnel. You can see perfectly carved wooden kind of like scaffolding holding it together. You walk 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet. The dwarf stops suddenly. Everybody roll a perception check.
19.
Ooh, another natty 18 for 23.
21?
Yeah, 14.
21. Who can see in the dark?
I can.
I can.
I can.
All of us.
Everybody.
Hey.
So, when the dwarf stops, he kind of puts a hand up and is like, shh. And you hear just like, like 8, 10, 12 little nails clacking against the stone. It appears to be approaching. He continues to hold the hand up. And then, after a couple moments, the echo of these things begins to resonate such that you lose count of what is movement and what is the phantom of it. All of a sudden, he screams, "It's too late! Get out! Get out!" And starts to run in the direction that you originally came. That's where we'll call it today. Please join us next time while we roll bravely on.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
I want to fight it.